Welcome to the Scale or Fail Show. I am your host and business growth mentor, Allison Maslin. I'm also the founder of Pinnacle Global Network, where we mentor business owners around the world to grow and scale. And on the Scale or Fail Show, we love to talk about anything business growth, and hopefully make the journey easier for you and faster to get to where you want to go in the least amount of time with the least amount of effort. And so today, what we've been doing on the last few episodes is kind of turning the table, and I get to be interviewed on my own show. And Yay! This is new for me in like 10 years. I haven't done this. So I love interviewing amazing people, and building relationships is one of my favorite things in the world. Sometimes I don't get to really share some of the wisdom that I've picked up along the way. So today I've got one of my favorite people in the world, Gina Ruby. Hi, Gina.
Hi, Allison. Good to be here.
And Gina has been on my team going on 9 years, I believe, in Pinnacle Global Network. She's been with me since almost the beginning. We've been together. We've had the company 11 years. And Gina is a very successful business owner in her own right in the health space. And she is such a superstar. Clients absolutely love her. And you're amazing at sales too, Gina. And so you know a lot about driving in cash flow, which is our topic today. Yes. And I love talking about cash flow, because you kind of have to have it when you're running a business. So let's dive in.
All righty, I'll take it away. So we do use the Scale It method with our Pinnacle clients. And today we're specifically going to talk about cash flow and how it actually integrates with the Scale It method. So the first question is what actually is cash flow, and is it different than revenue?
Yeah, so in the Scale It method, and let me just recap for a second for those of you that haven't heard me talk about this, is the acronym for scale, the S-C-A-L-E, and there's five pillars that you absolutely have to scale your business successfully. So one is, the S is strategic vision, the C is cash flow, the A is alliance of the team, the L is leadership, and the E is execution, where it all, you know, where the magic happens. So we're talking about the C today, which is cash flow. And it's, you know, cash flow is the oxygen of your business. It's really breathing life into everything. You've got to have it. And it's critical because it fuels the growth for all aspects of your business. And the cash flow is driven through marketing, through sales, through financial investment, through joint venture relationships, and so on. And there's revenue, which is your overall, you know, how much is coming in on the totality. But at the end of the day, it's profit. You know, what's left in your pocket? You know, what's left to reinvest in your business or do whatever with? And you've really got to monitor these things with projecting your cash flow so that you can make smart strategic decisions. You know, I'm all about power of intention and let's move ahead and let's take the big leaps, but let's also be clear and be strategic about it. So it's important that you're constantly driving cash flow in your company. The doors should never be closed. You've got to be a revenue focused company instead of constantly thinking, oh, I've got to get investors, or I've got to get someone to loan me money. No, you got to sell stuff. And then you've got to have systems and processes around the money, because it can go out faster than it comes in.
Yeah, and it's quite fascinating what we find with our clients. They can be seasoned business professionals, but a lot of times they don't know their numbers, which is fascinating. So cash flow, revenue, all that is a part of knowing your numbers. And when you know your numbers, there's power in that. Whether it means under what you want, then you got to, you know, work harder. Or if they're over, then it's a win. So we definitely hone in on our clients knowing their numbers. What would you say is your favorite ways to maximize cash flow with less effort and with time and investment?
Yeah, so this is my favorite topic because it's all about scaling, and that's what we help our clients do. And it's about replicating you as the business owner. So if you're the product, you can't really scale that. And you are, you know, you go to sleep or you take vacation, the money stops. So it's about finding ways to replicate what you do or replicate your product or service beyond you. And so that's where the real growth happens. That's where you really find your multiplier. And so it's the same amount of time and energy going out to one person could reach potentially hundreds or thousands or millions or billions even. And so so that's one side. The other side is that business owners often, they'll get frustrated if there's not enough cash flow coming in, especially earlier stage business owners. Once you get over a million, you've kind of got some systems in place and you've got consistent leads coming in. But, you know, we always tell our clients, you need to be spending 2 to 3 hours on sales. If you're doing the sales, if you have a sales team, they need to be focused on sales 24/7. But when we dive in, it's more like 2 to 3 hours a week that they're doing. And then now we get why there's no cash coming in the door. So, if you are the one that is delivering that product or service. So for instance, if you're the accountant or you're the attorney or you're the coach or whatever, it's fine to get it going. But after a while, you've got to replicate you because you can then only help so many people. There's only so many hours in the day and you're going to hit a ceiling in the growth of your company.
Which you have done that. You've done that exact same thing in 11 years. It used to be just you, and then you got more and more clients. You added a few more coaches, and now we're up to at least 14 coaches. So you've replicated yourself, which isn't easy to do, to give your baby away, not away, but to share it. And you've done a phenomenal job. And I love that because you've been there, done that, you get to pay it forward and teach other people how to do it too.
Yeah. Thanks, Gina. It's so true. It's probably one of the hardest things, I think, for business owners to let go. I know it was for me at first, because it's your baby and you care so much. But
it's worth it because now you're reaching thousands and thousands.
Yeah. Yeah. So once you make that jump, then you're like, oh, what's my problem? You know, they love our team. You know, they're not there going, well, where's Allison? You know, they're really happy with our team because, build a good team and they'll support the vision and the clients and all of that.
Yeah. Which is about hiring well too. And that's a whole other episode that you've mastered. But moving right along. So what is it when CEOs are scaling? They almost seem to be losing money.
Yeah.
Even so, though
yeah. Well, it's, you know, we say this in Pinnacle all the time. It's about working on the business, not in it. But most business owners are working in the business, not on it. Mm-hmm. So you become the bottleneck. And we really are the ones in our own way. And so when you hire strategically, which we teach in Pinnacle Global Network, when we work with our clients, we show you how to hire towards growth. And so when you hire someone, and some of you might be saying, gosh, Allison, I'd love to hire, but I don't have the money to do it. But if you're hiring towards growth, every employee should be bringing in 3 to 10 times their salary in one way or another that directly affects the bottom line. So it could be that they are bringing in sales. Of course, that's very direct. But it could be just getting things off your plate. So you could be out there building amazing relationships that will open so many doors for you. So building team is growth strategy. By trying to do it all, you're staying small, you're creating struggle, and you're creating overwhelm. And so there is, you know, there's ROI, return on investment, and there's ROE, return on energy. And so that's really where, and you know, Gina, you know my story, right? Like a gazillion times you've heard it, where I was making money, but I was totally dying inside because I absolutely had no life. And that's not winning.
Yeah. The cool thing that we help our clients do is not only make more money by getting things off their plate, but also getting more time. And that time you can never get back. So the money and the time is such an amazing gift that they actually get back.
Well, they're getting life, right? They're getting life, right? Because the clock is ticking by. And, you know, I mean, I love my business. I love what I'm doing right now. This is so fun. But if you're doing things in your business, like a lot of business owners are doing, they're not focused on their genius. They're doing things they don't like at all. And to me, it's like, you know what? I had that conversation with Richard Branson. He said, there's only so many days we have on this earth. So, you know, every moment is precious. And you know that, Gina, from what you've been through, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, it's so pivotal. And this is the cool thing is that we've helped so many clients, I mean, totally get their life back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have so many clients. I love talking about Marshall, you know, no vacation for 20 years, working 60 hours a week in his business, and now only needs to be in his business 90 minutes a week. And they've grown by millions of dollars. And so, you know, they went from like 35 to 85 employees. And, you know, he's not even really running the business anymore.
Yeah, and Pam, who grew her team from 0 to 4 people in a year, doubled her revenue and went on a vacation for the first time in like 5 years. So really getting their life back.
Yeah, on all levels. You don't have to wait till, you know, you're up to 30 employees to do it. Marshall waited about 20 years too long.
A 20-year overnight learning lesson.
Yes.
So what are some of the biggest mistakes CEOs make with cash flow? And where are some of those cash flow leaks?
Yeah. And look, I've all the things that I'm sharing with you, these are mistakes I've made, failures. They're not really failures, but they've been, I call them research and development. And I definitely had to learn this, you know, as my companies start getting bigger, you have to get your arms around it. It's one thing when you're organizing 500,000 in revenue, but when you have like 3 million coming in and you have got employees and you start seeing receipts and things and you're like, what, you know, how did this happen? You know, who decided to buy this thing? So there's money slipping through the cracks. You've got to have systems and processes around the money. And you've got to be strategic with your products, your services, and your marketing. Like really have a concrete plan. What are you going to be implementing in the year? And what is your expected ROI? And so that you can plan your implementation of everything you do in a smart way. So, and the other thing is you want to make sure you have a good profit margin. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when we dive into our clients that are working really hard and they're not making that great of money, I'm like, you know, what's wrong here? And we really look and the where they're putting their energy are on the things that are not really making them that much money. They have to have a decent profit margin.
For that, they even need to know what their profit and loss is. Because, you know, we have 7-figure earners and they don't have a P&L.
That
they're doing business, but, you know, they got to get
Well, I think it's all about money mindset. And, you know, I haven't really talked about that much here today, but cash flow is directly related to that. And, you know, a lot of times I think people feel, well, if I don't look at it, it won't be as bad as I think it is. If I just pretend it's not there, you know, and it really is that once you get a handle on your numbers, it actually is very freeing. Because then you know, okay, this is what I need to do. Like you have more of a sense of control and you can just really make better decisions and you can turn things around so fast. I mean, we've seen it like overnight many, many times. But, you know, if you know that you need to start hiring people, but if you're really examining your numbers and being strategic, you'll say, okay, well, I'm going to do 2 in Q1. 1 in Q2, we'll do another couple in Q3. Like, you know, you don't do it all at the same time. And so it's just being smart about it. And then the other thing too is, I think when we try to be all things to all people in our business, like too many products and, you know, too many target audiences, less is more. Less is more. A confused mind says no. Make it simple, make it easy, and it just makes life easier for you too, as the business owner.
Yeah, we had one client who had like 120 SKUs, but only maybe 22 of those were profitable. So we helped her clear out the other money suckers really and start creating profit.
Yeah, that's, you know, and that goes back to the 80-20 rule, Gina. You know, most of our 80% of our efforts go to the bottom 80% that aren't really driving revenue, where your top, most of your revenue is really coming from your top 20%. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing of where you put your time as well. Well, then what if you just focused on that top 20%? Yeah. It would be life-changing.
Yes. So speaking of that, you have some pretty great ways of instantly creating new revenue. Can you share, I mean, there's like 10 or 12 that we share with our clients, but can you share a couple of those here?
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of different ways to create revenue. And of course it depends on your industry and your business model. And we do in Pinnacle, we really support all of those business models. So there are many ways to create revenue, and it depends on the business model that you have and the industry that you're in. And in Pinnacle Global Network, we love that we are supporting all business models and industries. It's very cool. So, but vision is critical. Where are you going? You know, that's the first thing. And because we're often like, you know, doing this tactic and that tactic, but it's not cohesive. And so that's a lot of times why we're losing money, because we're spinning in circles. Is your team on board? Do they get where you're going? It's also about building those key relationships. Your network is your net worth, right? And so don't be building your business in a silo. That's why the power of the mastermind is so amazing in Pinnacle Global Network. Scaling. So I love to talk about your one to many. So if you are putting a lot of time and effort to sell your products, you want to think about how do I get there, and there's many ways, but how do you get to in front of a lot of people at once? So whether it's a membership program, you know, where you take all of the things that you're doing and then have something that is passive revenue that's coming in. You could, let's say you run a PR company, or you run a staffing company. Like if there's something that's signature that you've created, you could create a certification program around that and sell that to your industry. Webinars are one to many. Community building your community is one to many, meaning that your community, your customers are your raving fans. How can you build community around them so that they're out there really being your sales force? We have Gila Kurtz, who is one of our mentors, but she was a Pinnacle member for 5 years. She runs a company called Dog Is Good, and they have a real brand following for people that love dogs. And so they just recently started a direct sale model, and they have big fans of Dog Is Good actually doing pop-up shops and virtually right now because of COVID, and they're out there selling their products. This is a community, building a community. So it's about having a revenue-focused company, and if you feel that your product or service is the best, and it, you should feel that way, mm-hmm. or don't offer it, but why not get it into the hands of the people that need it? So be shameless about it. That doesn't mean be pushy, but share your passion, share your product, and to the people that are out there that need you. If you're keeping that to yourself, then you're being selfish, because there are people that, you know, you're the perfect match for.
Well, sometimes too, we've said, what are you doing for free over and over and over that actually could be monetized? And when people do it for free, they just think, well, everybody knows this, but they don't. We all have our own IP. And if we're not monetizing from it, then we can create something, whether it's simple, a $9.99 product a month or something that's several thousand dollars. But
yes. Yes. Thanks, Gina. That's so true.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on, what's the first thing someone should do when they're in a cash flow crunch?
Yeah. So fastest path to cash. Mm-hmm. We always look at, okay, what do you have in front of you right now that you could pick up the phone and call 10 people and convert that? What is your low hanging fruit? Who are people that already love you? They've already been customers before. Your current customers or recent customers will spend 5 times as much as a new customer. Why? Because they already trust you, right? They've already seen that you follow through with what you say you're going to do. So when clients start with us in Pinnacle, whether they are at 300,000 or 3 million or 30 million, the first thing we do before we start creating all new revenue streams and helping them scale is that we help them create cash first. So let's increase conversion. Let's expand the marketplace. Let's just have more attention on sales. Let's increase the profit margin and really work on the sales conversion. I mean, if you increase your conversion from 30% to 50%, I mean, that's a massive jump in your revenue. I mean, when the stock market takes a jump like that, it's like a lot of people get very wealthy. So it's learning that sales conversation or your team, really nailing it down. And I will say in almost 40 years of business, this is something that you have to continue to work on and to practice and really just speak from your heart. So you really want it to be authentic, but you also want it to be communicated clearly, and you want to be prepared for objections that your clients often share. You want to be able to have a way to support them with that. And then the last thing is really look at your P&L, like Gina's been talking about, and it's going to tell you, you know, it doesn't lie. So, you know, it may be that there are things that you're spending on that you don't need to, or your prices are too low. And, you know, if you don't ask for the sale, you won't get it. So 80%, I think it's the 80% of sales do not go through unless someone's specifically asking for it. You know, we often think, oh, well, if they want it, they're going to get it. No, they're not going to, because you have to remind people.
Yeah,
they're busy. They forget.
And at 5 to 12 touches, you know, don't just ask and be done, one and done. 5 to 12 touches before you'll get a yes anyway. So it's not.
Oh, yeah. Great point.
Great service to.
Yeah. The follow-up is everything. That's right. The follow-up is everything, because sometimes people are just, it takes some time, you know, and you have to be consistent with it. There's a woman that, Pamela O'Rourke, she's in WeBank, and we've talked about this several times, and I've heard her say this, is that she's literally followed up with customers for 10 years. She's like, I never give up until I get that customer, you know, and she's got a massive company well into the nine figures. So,
and people appreciate that. You know, a lot of times
you're
pestering them, but people are busy, or they lost your phone number, or they lost your email. They actually appreciate the follow-up, because timing is everything. So when they follow up, that makes it easier for your prospect to not have to call you. So it really is a blessing.
I agree.
Okay, so let's talk about sales. What has helped you be so successful in your business over the years on the sales front?
Yeah, I mean, in the early years, I had zero sales training, and mine came out of a need. As being a single mom, I had to figure out a way to make the business work. I had a lot of people around me telling me to get a job. Who do you think you are? I literally, Gina, had no money, and my daughter was young then, and I just didn't want to get a job. Let's just say I couldn't keep a job. I tried, but I was one of those unemployable. So I really appreciate that time, because my back was against the wall, and had it just been a pile of money sitting there, I didn't have the confidence yet. I would have probably been, I'll do it tomorrow. And I wouldn't have been able to prove to myself that I could do it. So I literally, when I had my ad agency, I went door to door, and, you know, you get a lot of people shutting the doors on you. So you learn to get a thick skin, you know, and we don't realize those of you that are listening, you're selling all the time with your family, your kids. You're enrolling them into, let's go to this movie, or let's go to this trip, or you need to go to bed, and here's why. And, you know, so it's really about, sales is about enrolling people into your passions. If that's their passion too, I don't really think of it too much on sales, but I think I love what Naveen Jain says, who just spoke at our event. It's just that, you know, when you are so, you know, you're so passionate about it, it just feels natural. Like you inspire people to move forward with you. You don't have to do arm twisting. You don't have to convince them. You actually inspire them. So when you're having that sales conversation, you really want to focus on the result, the dream, where it's going to go, what the possibility is, because most people are stuck in settling and or in pain or in one way or another, and they don't even think that it's possible. So showing somebody that, you know, how much their life could change, or, you know, whatever it is that you, if it's giving a nice, a better looking haircut, you know, whatever it is talk about the end result. And then also really go towards the elephant in the room, like deal with the pain, like what hasn't worked, what hasn't been perfect, what have you been frustrated about in your business, your life, your relationship, whatever it is that you, your product or service addresses, your food, your, you know, anything. And so going deeply into the pain and really understanding the challenges and then showing them the gap, you know, this is where you are. This is where you want to be. Like, you know, let me help you close the gap. So help people to see that journey, how you can take them from where they are to where they want to be, but without getting into the nitty gritty of it, because then you get people in their head and, you know, it's overwhelming. But yeah, inspire them. Yes.
If your product, I mean, hopefully your product or service does make that person's life better after working with you, and to not share it is incredibly selfish. So this passion to help people, can some people I've found can't really dream. They've blocked themselves off from dreaming because they've been disappointed so many times. And I feel like business owners, we're the dream openers and really show them the potential and the possibility of having a better life, whether it's a product or a service or both. And to not do it is stingy. So, okay, so that. One last question. I know time is ticking here. What is most important to remember in building a sales team? And I know we could talk for 30 minutes about that, but in a
Yeah, we could do a whole workshop around this. So I think one of the biggest mistakes is that you hire salespeople in your business or even one salesperson and you're like, oh, yay, okay, I've handed that over. Whew. Now I don't have to think about sales anymore. And then a month goes by, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, and no sales are coming in, even if this person is a good salesperson. So I have learned the hard way. And so the key is that, first of all, you want to hire people that are just great at sales and that have had a lot of sales experience. You can teach them about your product or service, or have people that are so passionate about what it is that you offer that they just can't stop talking about it. But then you need to have structure around it. So you can't just let them go rogue. You've got to have solid training. So on a weekly basis, you're meeting with them at least once, ideally twice a week, you or someone on the team, where you're discussing, okay, let's talk about, you know, how the sales conversations are going or what meetings are coming up. What do you have in the pipeline? And you really systemize that. And then you go over, you know, what are the objections? What's keeping these potential customers from moving forward? And you also give clear expectations for your sales team. You know, this is what our goal is. I mean, people want to know where they're supposed to go. So key performance indicators, real benchmarks. And